deep and dreamless sleep, the silent stars divine.
Yet in thy dark street shineth the everlasting light. The hopes and fears of all the years are met in thee.
Good evening. Thank you for joining us for the journey of Christmas. Have you ever considered how many journeys converged on the birth of Christ? When we read the biblical record of the Christmas story, we see that there, all those people who are related to the birth of Christ, almost all of them are on a journey. You have God's journey from heaven to earth. You have Mary and Joseph and their journey from Nazareth. The wise men from the east, the shepherds from afar, and even a prophetess in the temple. All of those travelers are related, and they're part of God's plan. The most important journey of all, though, is the journey that God made in coming down to earth. God's divine promise, the Messiah, came to redeem us from the curse of sin. That's the most important journey. But the most important journey that you will ever make is the one straight to Jesus for the forgiveness of your sins. We pray that you'll understand that, and you'll open up your heart to Him as you join us for the journey of Christmas.
Oh, little town of Bethlehem,
I've never found communicating with humans to be easy. Over the centuries, we angels have appeared to various individuals to deliver messages from the God of heaven. And we usually spend the first few minutes saying, "Fear not, or be not dismayed." It's been remarkable to me how the sun cloaked his brilliance for his journey to earth. That journey began with the fall of man. On that terrible day when the first man and woman chose to defy God's command, he promised to send the Holy Son of Heaven. He promised to redeem them of their chosen path of sin. We knew when God planned to do it. He even told man through his prophet Isaiah, "Therefore the Lord himself shall give you a sign. Behold, a virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and he shall call his name Emmanuel." And it came to be. The prophet Micah told where this event would take place. But even behold, Bethlehem, Ephrathah, though thou be little among the thousands of Judah, yet out of thee shall come unto me he that is to be ruler in Israel. And he that has come forth from everlasting to everlasting. Seeing the Holy One of Heaven assume a body, devoid of his cloak of brilliance, was a sight that I could not tire. My eyes could not fathom my master as a man. And when he was born, I was there. Truly, heaven had come to earth.
Have you ever ridden a donkey? If you've not, then I can assure you, there's no great comfort you've missed. I remember that first journey to Bethlehem that Christmas. It was a journey to remember. I understand now why Joseph and I had to leave our home in in Nazareth and travel to Bethlehem. It was for the census, but ultimately it was to fulfill prophecy. It had been foretold that my son would be born in Bethlehem, and so we had to go. If you know anything about our beautiful country of Israel, you'll know that Nazareth was over 60 miles away from Bethlehem. When Joseph first told me in soft, apologetic tones where we had to go, I could hardly believe my ears. What about Jesus? We had already been told the baby's name. But I remember Joseph smiling and assuring me that God would take care of his son and me. And so we started our long journey to Bethlehem, joining the streams of people that flowed down the busy pathways. Under normal conditions, such a journey takes 3 days, perhaps less when riding, but I was most certainly not under normal conditions. That donkey was a very patient beast. It bore my constant rearranging and requests for rest without struggle. Oh, I don't mean to complain, but only to explain that because of me, our journey was made unnecessarily long. We arrived in Bethlehem with the stragglers 4 days after we left our home. There were no rooms at the inn, but when Joseph told me that we would be staying that night in a stable, I can honestly say it was a welcome sight. Oh, it wasn't my first choice, but I knew that my hour was close, and any measure of rest would be welcome. But that night, in our humble quarters, we were blessed beyond the richest rooms of the inn by the birth of the Savior. The long and weary journey had been well worth it.
The day our King arrived on earth should have been the most celebrated day in history, but it wasn't. At the very least, The Jews should have known he had come. The signs were all there. They were simply ignored. It was as if the people had forgotten Isaiah's words, "For unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulder, and his name shall be called Wonderful, Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace." But the God of the universe would not allow his son to come unannounced and without fanfare. So he sent us. We were sent that starry, cool evening to some shepherds, the kind of men who have a faith unsullied by the world's wealth and power. They were simple, and they were believing. We knew that if we all sprang out of that quiet sky at once, those poor men would be overwhelmed beyond recovery. So only one of us was sent at first. His message was simple. The Savior is born. And when we couldn't hold ourselves back any longer, we burst into the sky above them, a choir beaming God's radiance and singing our announcement song. Glory to God in the highest, and on earth, peace, goodwill toward men.
My rank has always been that of advisor to the king. Wise men, if you prefer, I prefer scholar. My job is to know everything that is happening in the world, that I may advise the king in any subject. Among my many, many responsibilities, I have often read the Hebrew texts. Many of them are prophetic. They speak of the coming of a great ruler, one who will bring peace to Israel one day. I remember those prophecies being particularly striking. They were so specific, so confident. Some of my fellow scholars had also read these texts, and we became so familiar with them that we no longer need the scrolls upon which they were written. I suppose that is where our journey first began, with faith that these things which were written were indeed true. You cannot imagine the joy that we experienced when we discovered that star. We observed the night sky, looking for patterns, observing its changes. When that brilliant star first appeared, we were all aware that it was something special. It was the King. It was His star. And we had to see it for ourselves. In a few short days, we were caravanning directly toward that beaming birth announcement of the new King. Packed securely in our belongings were rich gifts for the new King. For months, we followed that star. If I ever doubted the sanity of our journey, all I had to do was look up at that star and ease my heart again. The last day of the journey is forever etched in my mind. I had expected throngs of people rejoicing at the new birth of the anticipated King. But instead, we encountered a very jealous King Herod and blank-faced scribes who had to dig through dusty scrolls to find the very prophecies we knew so well. No one knew of the Prince of Peace or the Mighty Counselor. So, we returned to our star until all of a sudden it stopped. At last, we had found the King. We approached the place reverently, and upon our knock and request to see the child, were admitted by a man. His wife was seated nearby, and in her lap was the King we had come so far to see. We fell down at his feet and humbly presented these small gifts to him. I will never know why wise men from the East were told of such a birth in such a miraculous way, but it was a journey that changed me forever. A journey of faith and worship.
To the Christ child born upon the hay. gold and frankincense they bring, with the myrrh they give to the king.
The wise men worship Jesus, down at his feet they bow. Oh, will you worship Jesus, and of his glory tell?
Why can't you seek us, dear son, Jesus Christ, God's own anointed one?
Now lettest thou thy servant depart in peace, according to thy word. For mine eyes have seen thy salvation. Well, if Simeon said he'd seen the salvation of the Lord, that could only mean that he had seen Messiah. I took myself as fast as I could to the sound of his voice, and coming upon him suddenly, I saw a man and a wife holding a small child. No one had to tell me that that child was Messiah. I had watched for too long and prayed too hard not to know him when I saw him. Oh, how I thanked God and praised him at that beautiful sight. Now all my years of waiting and watching have been fulfilled, and God can take me home whenever he chooses. But what an end to my journey! I have seen him, the Messiah who will redeem the world.
I have seen him, yes, I've seen him. I have seen the living Savior with my eyes. He's Messiah, God among us. Jesus Christ is my Redeemer, good and wise. Yet his years on earth will quickly pass. The cross his life will claim. I have seen him. Yes, I've seen him. And I'll never be the same. Have you seen him? Christ the Savior, he's the spotless Lamb who made salvation free. There on Calvary, bruised and beaten, Jesus gave his life, he died for you and me. But he conquered death and rose again. That's why my Savior came. When you see him, really see him, then you'll never be the same. You will never
For the 33 years of the Savior's life, heaven was as a man holding his breath in anticipation, silent, watchful, waiting. We all knew what was to happen at the end of his earthly life. The Holy Son of Heaven fully intended to die for mortal man. Only he had the power to undertake such a task, and nothing more despicable could have been the object of his grace. The awe I felt at his love, it holds my tongue back yet. God crucified for man. It's the kind of thing that is so marvelous, so wonderful, that words cannot describe it. The hosts of the angels, myself among them, we're poised and ready to fling ourselves to earth at any command from him, robed in flesh as he was.
More than once, we ministered to him in his loneliness. Once, we ministered to him after he withstood Satan's attacks. Another time, we attended him in prayer, but we were always ready to answer his call. On the day of his crucifixion, we were ready, but he never spoke. We watched as his earthly followers betrayed and forsook him. The Pharisees took him, falsely tried him, and the soldiers beat and bruised him. When they led him to Golgotha, our swords were drawn and gleaming, our company in high passion that the Son of Heaven should be treated so. Yet the orders never came. When he died on that cross, God's wrath shook the earth, and the very light of heaven seemed to dim. The day of the great fall of man had been terrible. But the day of death of God's Son is beyond my description. Then, as now, I could not understand the love that he had for those people. It was his only purpose in going. A journey of 33 years ended in a destination of love.
There's one more journey we must talk about tonight, and that's the journey of the heart. We've heard of the great distances that these people have traveled, but they all seem to have reached at the end, at the same place, at the feet of Jesus. You know, there's nothing barring you from the way of the cross. The road is clear. In Romans 10:9, the Bible says that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and believe that God hath raised him from the dead, then thou shalt be saved. Tonight, we invite you to make that journey. There is a fountain filled with blood drawn from Emmanuel's veins, and you can plunge beneath that flood, lose all your guilty stains. The Savior came from heaven above to die for all your sin. Oh, won't you bow your heart and let Him in?
Amazing grace, how sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. I was once lost, but Thou art found, was blind, but now I see. His grace has brought me safe thus far.
Well, I hope you enjoyed the music this evening. As many times as I've heard them practice and work on it, it blessed my heart all the more this evening. And just want to take a couple minutes and challenge you in a few ways. The theme of this evening's program was obviously about journeys, many journeys that different ones made. And we focused in particular upon the journey that Jesus made. But we're reminded that we're all on a journey, to say the least. The journey of life as we make our way through this crazy old world that we live in. We say then, in reality, our lives are a journey. Even making our way to this auditorium this evening was part of that journey that we're making. And I don't believe any of us are here this evening by accident. Rather, that we're here by divine appointment to hear exactly what the Lord would have us to hear tonight. The words of the song that was just sung leave us with a question, a very important question. Oh, won't you bow your heart and let Him in? Love that song. Love the message that it gives to us. Why, dear ones, why has Jesus made such an amazing impact on mankind? He made that impact very simply because He is indeed Emmanuel. Is the meaning of the word. He is God with us. How could it be? How could God not make an impact upon visiting this human race? He was the Son of God. He is the Lord of glory. He is indeed Lord of all. And yet He, in obedience to His Father, left His place at the right hand of His Father in glory and made that amazing journey, leaving heaven, coming and dwelling amongst men. The most important journey that anyone has ever made in the history of this world. He came as the child we heard sung about this evening. He came with the divine task, as was so beautifully laid out for us tonight, of saving His people from their sin. He came, beloved, to lay down His life, to pour out His blood as a sacrifice for our sin. And 2,000 years later, we sing of a fountain filled with blood drawn from Emmanuel's veins. A fountain not of water, but a fountain of blood that was given to purge men, to cleanse of the horrible sin and its consequences. The words of another great song were echoed this evening. Amazing grace, how sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. Those words never cease to amaze me. They fill me really with wonder that Jesus Christ would lay down His life on my behalf. That the God of glory would be pleased to die for me, a sinner even like me. Dear ones, I can't tell you how thankful I am for that night when God came to where I was and prompted me to bow my heart and let Him in. How about you, my friend? How about you this evening? Have you made the journey to the cross where you can know the forgiveness of sin and have Jesus come into your heart, take possession of your life? Now, we've been praying and we're praying this evening that the message that we've heard concerning the journey of Jesus from heaven to earth to save us from our sin would speak to your heart tonight. That message would be as real to you as it was that night when the angels declared His coming. Have you bowed your heart and let Him in? Let Him in. I don't know where you're at in your life's journey, But I do know this. In the end, it will all be meaningless unless you make that journey of the heart to the cross of Calvary where Jesus died for you. Listen again to those words that were given a little bit ago from Romans chapter 10, verses 9 and 10. The Apostle Paul wrote there that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shall believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. Paul goes on and he says, for with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. It may well be this evening that you believe in God. It may well be that you believe that Jesus Christ really did leave glory and come to this earth. It may be that you believe everything that was sung about this evening. But beloved, if you have not received Him as your personal Lord and Savior, if you've not come to that place where you would confess Him as your God, as that one who took your place, paid the price of your sin, I urge you tonight, I plead with you tonight, bow your heart and let Him in. Now again, the choir is going to sing that very song that we heard just a few moments ago. And we invite you to make that journey tonight. We invite you to receive the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior, as that one that will redeem you from your sin. As they sing, we'll be here in the front. If anyone needs help, if anybody would like to see from the Bible what Jesus Christ did for you, you come. And this preacher, others do their best to point you to Jesus, the one who journeyed from glory to heaven, from heaven to this earth.
There is a fountain filled with blood drawn from Emmanuel's veins, and you can plunge beneath that flood, lose all your guilty stains. The Savior came from heaven above to die for all your sin. Oh, won't you bow your heart and let Him in? you bow your heart? Yes, won't you bow your heart and let Him in?
Pastor of Metropolitan Baptist Church, I want to express my gratitude to the hard work, of course, of so many this evening, of Brother John Davison, who is the director of the program, and Colton Holland, as he led the choir this evening, our musicians, and of course the choir and all the cast that the folks, as you understand, anything like this, they've been working on this for many months. And I appreciate them. If sin's a pride, I'm exceeding sinful this evening. I'm very proud of them and the hard work that they put in. And the great presentation to the glory, to the honor, and the praise of Jesus Christ, our Savior. Now, I do want to say this. The ladies have prepared a snack for y'all in our fellowship hall, in our gymnasium, and we would sure love to have you stay and share that time with us. You just got to kind of wind your way through the hallway here, and you'll get to the gymnasium. But let's stand together, if you would. Is there anything else? Father, we thank you so much for Jesus Christ this evening. We realize indeed that regardless of what this old world thinks and what they think of this time of the year, it's all about Jesus Christ. It's about Him who was willing to leave heaven's glory and make that amazing journey to come become the Savior of His people. We thank you, Father, that even at this time of the year we celebrate that coming, that even as He came as a wee babe, He was the Lord of glory. Father, I'm praying this evening that if there be anyone in our midst that yet does not know Christ as their Savior, as their Lord, Father, that the message tonight was clear, that Jesus was magnified, that He was exalted, and that He might be pleased to draw folks savingly, gloriously, eternally to Himself. Father, as we would say our amen, we pray your blessing upon the fellowship to follow, those that have prepared snacks and drinks, Father. Please, I pray that many would stay and enjoy that time together. We love you, Lord. We thank you. We praise you for your great grace through your Son, Jesus Christ. For it's in His name and for His glory that we pray. Amen and amen. Amen. Choir, why don't you go ahead and make sure folks get to where they need to be.